All right. We know the history of this ministry, and we know the importance that conferences play in this and how it draws us together. And we also know who taught us that. And so we're going to start the convention with a word from the man who got a vision in Maine and really served God with his Bible for many years, the Bible man himself, Pastor Stevens. Let's listen to this.
And the Lord Jesus Christ died and shed his blood and redeemed us through the gospel. And when the gospel is preached, we come to God through Jesus Christ and find the Father resting in Jesus Christ toward us. And so we meet him there with his stretched out arm, and he takes a hold of our hand and gathers us together with him. And we're there for one reason and one reason alone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. So we get saved on the basis of God loving us. And we say often, what is it? Not that we love God first, but that he loved us. And now we found the rest of forgiveness. The great thing has been done. The rest of forgiveness. The rest of cleansing. The rest of no sins imputed. The rest of peace. The rest of knowing that we're saved. The rest of being on our way to heaven. It's a redemptive rest, and it's ours in the Lord Jesus. But now comes all the conflicts of the trial of our faith, the test of our response. And the Lord Jesus Christ now brings us in to the wilderness. We'll either be a Joshua or a Caleb and head for the promised land in obedience and faith and having the promises of God profit us, or we'll be like the hundreds and thousands of Israelites which never entered in. But just as we met God through love manifested, now we let that love to be manifested in our soul, in our mind, in our emotions. And the very truth and substance and essence and characteristics of that love begins to prevail over the very enemies of our innermost being and over the flesh. And the Lord Jesus Christ, making every possible provision to give us an exchanged life through the simplicity of faith, says, if you let love be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, I'll rest in you. I'll abide in you. And you can rest in me. And just as you know that you're saved, you can know that I'm beautiful for situations, and there isn't one single circumstance that I will not rest in you, and you can rest in me. No matter how bleak it looks, how dark and dismal and dreary, no matter how exhausted you become in your energy, no matter how much that you can understand and how much you cannot see, I will promise you that if you'll accept love as the resting place and really mean it, you'll have a rest that has been given to the people of God based upon the character of Christ in the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. There's no other place in all the world that a man can find peace until he rests in the place where God is resting. And that is his love, not ours. That would be works. His love, not our fruit. Not the progress we've made. We don't rest in the progress we've made. We don't rest in the things that we've got victory over. We're thankful for them. We don't rest in anything except his love. Then I've given him a habitation. And more than that, I've found rest, not only in my conscience, but in my soul.
I think this is 39th or 38th convention that we've had. The Bible speaks and greater grace and Christ at the center and people coming from different places and the Holy Spirit being so faithful to to minister to us and teach us. Thank you for your prayers, your love, also for being here. It's powerful. My expectation this week is really great. It really is great. I want to show you something. Turn to Judges with me, please. In chapter 15. He was sore, verse 18, chapter 15, verse 18. And he was sore athirst. This is Samson. He had killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass, in verse 16. And then when he was done, he was very thirsty, verse 18. And he called on the Lord and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. Now I shall die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised." He thought maybe he would die by a sword or by a spear, but now he feels he's going to die of thirst. He had a great victory, and he killed 1,000 men. Now he feels, wow, now it's over. Now I'm going to die of thirst. The convention this year has to do with this house, with the two floors that we have been teaching for maybe years now here in the ministry. Maybe those that have watched on the internet have seen us draw that house many times. I just realized in the family center, I'm sure you're paying attention, and we are happy you are there. Thank you. Calm down. At the end of the week, we'll give them a hand. No, I'm joking. All right, so in the house, and we'll draw it now if we have it here, okay? Is that there? Okay, here we have the house. And our skillful tech ops have these, has a window over here, we have a door over here. They want to supply us with a lot of props for the week. The house has to do with the world that God wants us to live in. And on the first floor of the house is the natural life of man. And he lives here, and many live here very well. They're very happy with their life in the first floor of the house. When we are born into the world, we have the first floor. When we're born into this world, we have a lot of talent, a lot of cleverness, maybe you have or had. Strength, ambition, desires, relationships, and also religion. And I want to speak a little bit about idolatry tonight. Idolatry. The man on the first floor of the house, we know it very well. Rachel sang here a few minutes ago an amazing song that really touched my heart. Every time I hear that song, it touches me. That I am tired, I am empty, I am thirsty. You know, when we know each other, Pastor Moon, Pastor Rhonda Lewis, Pastor Teploff, A.V. Altonen, Pili Krama, and so many names, and we know each other in our hearts, we rejoice in the fact that our life has gone beyond the natural borders of the first floor. And we have said that Jesus said in John 3 to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom. And this he spoke of the new birth that happens in him, because he is in the whole house, not only on the earth, but also in heaven. John 3:13, he said, no one has ascended up to heaven but the Son of Man who is in heaven. Many of us have studied in our theology Scofield's notes, and many teachers that have taught the finished work and positional truth. And we speak about our experience and our position. And we are learning that my position is now. It is for me. It is my new life. My position is reality. My position is that I am alive, that I have passed from death unto life. That's why when we come together, we can sense the Holy Spirit saying to us, you are seated in heavenly places. And we kind of, with our feet on the ground, very really in this world, we say, yes, we are seated in heavenly places. With an emptiness in our heart, like in this story with Samson. Pastor Steve, could you get me the jawbone? I just ordered a jawbone of an ass off of the Craigslist, and it just came in. It was on sale. And after the service, you know, goes to the highest bidder. No, I don't want to get rid of it. I think living around here, I need it. Okay, you see that? Okay, that's a genuine real calcium bone, jawbone. And if you hold it like this, you can see how much damage Samson did, could have done, a man could do, and what he did. The point here is in the next part here, verse 19. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. When he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En-Hak-Go-E-Re, which is in Lehi unto this day. He judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. There's only one point I want to make here. I know this is like a story that, you know, you could, you know, the typology, the comparison and all, but I want to be very real here. This is reality. It sounds fantastic, and I know, but that's what I believe about reality. It sounds incredible that out of this, there's two totally different things, water and the jawbone of an ass. It has nothing to do with water. It's entirely separate, totally different. But that's what God wants you and I to know about life. It's beyond the ways of men. It's beyond reason. But it's so reasonable that the weapon that I use to destroy the enemy would be also the source of my refreshment, the revival that I have. But that's not the point, really. The point is, I'm talking jawbone and God's talking water. I'm talking I'm losing my child, and God is talking joy, peace, power, life. This is unbelievable. But it's repeated many, many times in the Bible that you see a tree and then you see salt water becomes fresh water. You see Aaron's rod and then you see him speak to Pharaoh. Come out of Egypt with the rod, strike the Red Sea, and pass over. We see Jesus coming. There's bread and fish, and he feeds everybody. That is unbelievable by quantity, but this is different because of the diversity, jawbone and water. And I say this because we are prone to idolatry. Turn to 1 John 5 with me to this part, this verse, chapter 5, verse 21. Through 1 John, we read about God and his love and fellowship, light, a few key words in the epistle. Light, fellowship, love, and then at the very end he throws in this statement, verse 20, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. What? What are you talking about? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. After all these chapters on love and fellowship and light, and then you just throw that in at the end, at the very last statement of the epistle, little children, haven't we outgrown idolatry? Haven't we found light and life and love and freedom? Aren't we free from idolatry? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. What does that mean? Turn to Deuteronomy 5 with me, please. Thank you for your love, your prayers. Also, I just think I might be one of the most prayed for men in the world. Honestly, I mean, I'm not, but we also in Baltimore, and we are living and moving and growing because of what we are saying here tonight. Not because of the first floor of the house, but because God does something and it looks like obscurity. But then light rises out of the morning. It looks like a disaster and then God's hand of blessing. Let me show you something about idolatry here. Do we have this picture clear in your mind? We have the first floor. We have life here on the first floor. We have a lot of idolatry on the first floor. And people live their lives. This is interesting. They are addicted to blessing. Addicted to blessing. This is how they may think of the Christian life. Blessing. What else? Blessing. My children, my house, my job, my health. Blessing. Success. Prosperity. Blessing. You know how they do it in India, in Hinduism? They have all of these gods for blessing. Their lives are about consequences. I need this God so I can be blessed, and this God, and this one, because my whole life is about being blessed. How about you? What is the point of your life and mine? it's different. It's not getting a blessing on the first floor. The whole point of our life is to live in the whole house. Isn't it? The whole point of our life is to know Him and to see, you know what, Eddie, Jimmy, Debbie, Nancy, you know what, I can't believe it, but out of this bone came water for me. And I cannot believe that. I did His will, and He supplied for me from a place I had no idea that the blessing. But it wasn't just the water, it was how He did it. It wasn't even I was looking for it. But He knew my need, and out of His abundance and His nature, He supplied for me. He gave me the knowledge of Himself, and He told me, I am the God that does secret things. I am the God that you cannot figure me out. I am the God that visits you in the nighttime. I am the God that supplies you. I am the God that introduces you to me. I want you to know me deeply. Turn to Deuteronomy 5, where we'll say a few things here, make another picture, and then we'll finish up. Follow it with me. Chapter 5, verse 6. I am the Lord thy God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Do you remember? You were lost, and God brought you out. He brought you out of the pub. He brought you out of depression. He brought you out of the brothel. He brought you out of the gambling hall. He brought you out of the negative. He brought you out of the high center of learning. He brought you out of pride. He brought you out of your own life and heart. And then He says, verse 7, you shall have no other gods before me. But I know you people, you have your little gods in your hearts. I know you. I know who you worship late at night when you're lying on your bed. You have these little gods. I know you. I know you have your rabbit foot. You have your special socks when you played in the NBA game and you won and you wear those socks every game. I know you. You'll walk down the right side of the road because when you walk down the right side, you had a good day. I know you, how you live, how you think, how you process life. And when you suffer, you lie down thinking, what did I do wrong? How did I mess up? And the Lord says here in verse 7, you shall have no other gods before you. Watch, here's a little, this is the diagram that I really want you to look and digest. The core of a person, and then on the surface. Can you see that? Okay, it's a beautiful picture. It's for sale after the meeting. Yeah, my children. My children, I love them. My grandchildren, my friends, my church, my people, my job, my car, my possessions, my house where I live, my health. My, that's amazing if we're healthy. When you love, when it is in its rightful place and you lose it, it's a bit of a discouragement. It does hurt you when you lose something that you love. But when you love it from the core and you lose it, it produces a despair. Incredible pain, a loss that you can hardly bear. It is important that we hold life kind of lightly in our hands. You know how we worship Him? Our hands are open. It's almost like I don't have my children in my hands, they are in yours. I don't have my money in my hands, it is in yours. I don't have my health in my hands, it is in yours. I don't have my job in my hands, it is in yours. Verse 8, you shall not make you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. You will not bow down yourself unto them, nor serve them. There is nothing in the earth, under the earth, or in the sky that we bow down to. There cannot be. It must be that God has his rightful place in our life. And that's what happened to you. When you accepted Jesus Christ, he gave you a new heart. And you now live with the Holy Spirit that guides you in a life of faith. And in the life of faith, you discover things about life that you never knew before. And you say, at the end of the day, you say something like this. You say, Samson says, I don't know how it happened, but water came out of this thing. I don't realize what happened, but actually God happened. God did it. He did. And maybe this week we all come here hungry and thirsty. And sometimes we say, I'm thirsty for a blessing, and I understand that, and that is true, but not this way. Our blessings are not even held here in the core of our heart, because blessings, they, as beautiful as they are, they cannot replace the ways of God, the nature of God, the Spirit of God. How many men and women of God have suffered, and yet in their suffering they found water come out of the bone? How many people have sat somewhere and somebody looking at them would say, that is terrible. And they, in a mystical way, say, you cannot see it and you do not understand it. But God is God. And I don't mean the God of like blessing so that you are comfortable and blessing so you have your everything that you and I want to have. We understand that. And I'm not asking for trouble tonight, but I am trying to say something. I think many of us can say this. Because I held my life loosely, and I was able to give, and I gave it to him, and said, you are the only one that would really take care of me and visit me in the first floor and show me the second. You are the only one that really would give to me your Holy Spirit, your mind, your nature, your love, so that we would know you in this world, and that our search and our hunger isn't for those little blessings that so much smack of idolatry. You know, if you don't give this to me, I'm going to be very disappointed with you. And the Lord would say, you don't understand. Buy the truth, sell it not. When you buy it, it's a high price. You got to get rid of all the idolatry. You got to get rid of it out of your heart. You got to surrender it all up at the cross. Your life means too much to you. I am God. Let me have your life. Your future means too much to you. I am God. Let me be your future. Your past means too much to you. I am God. Let me take care of your past. Your feeling, your whatever all of those things are that are so human about us, it's like get bigger by having a loose handle on these things. And then let's turn to the last part, Matthew 16. And this is so appropriate. Jesus said unto them in verse 24, if any man will come after me, and I think he would look at us like through and through, his eyes would penetrate through every one of us. He'd say, if you come after me, and he would see in our heart our fear. He would see in our heart our tenacious, cautious selves. We'd see in our hearts, I'm not sure about that. He would see in our heart, and we would reason, could water come out of a jawbone? Could God bring them out of Egypt? Could God raise the dead? Could God bless my mother, my father, my children? Could God take care of me all the way through my life into the gray-haired years and beyond? The Lord will say, let me decide those things. I am the God of the whole house. You cannot figure me out. I will surprise you. I will give you the, we go from this idea of blessings, like you know how we are as people, you know, I need a blessing, 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 to the big word, we are blessed. It is our status. It is our condition. It is our position. We are blessed. And that blessing isn't a just say idea that, okay, fine, you know, I am blessed, okay. But it is to take a hold of that reality. Many of the pastors here, when you minister in India, Siberia, Moscow, Ukraine, Hungary, Romania, Cincinnati, Miami, wherever you minister, you are ministering a powerful message. You're saying to dear people that are struggling, and they're like saying, is there a bomb in Gilead? Is there a blessing that I don't know anything about that is just beyond me? Is there something that isn't like dealing with caution and suspicion and hesitation? Is there a full surrender to Christ at the cross? And he filling me and satisfying me deeply like she sang tonight? And the answer from us as ministers of the gospel, you know, in our own way, however we communicate it in our living way, we are saying yes, 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 yes. And they say, how does it work, Pastor? And you say, I cannot tell you how water came out of a bone. I cannot explain to you how Christ came up out of the grave. I cannot tell you how God, by the blood of Jesus, takes our sin away. We cannot say how our name is recorded there in the book, but it is. People are hungry. Idolatry is a tedious task. Idolatry is work. Idolatry is no fun. Idolatry is reading the tea leaves. Idolatry is looking at, like, trying to figure it out. We are finished with all of it. We have given our core. We have surrendered it all. We have found a fresh anointing. We have found the nature of Christ. We see it happening in our churches and in our mission work, and we see it in a shining face in Uzbekistan, a shining prisoner's face in a prison or a jail. Here in Towson, we have seen it. We rejoice in it. You are blessed people, period. You have found Christ. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. It'll come creeping back in, and you'll try to figure it out. You know, how it goes, how to get a blessing. A little teeny weeny little $10 bill. A little, somebody's going to give me a parking spot at the garage. A little, but you know, little blessings. And I am not underestimating those precious things. But I am saying that we are We are not eating manna off the ground anymore. We're eating the new corn in the land. God has not given you, throwing you a bone every once in a while. God has ordained for you to be blessed with extremely great understanding and fullness and satisfaction in the human heart. And this dear world that we are living in is in great need of more than the first floor. Just say it with all your confidence and live in it. With all your confidence and all your joy and all of your expression, and say, hallelujah, Christ has blessed me. We are blessed. He has risen. We are blessed. We have taken a hold of it. It is our new life. It is body life. It is vision, purpose. It is peace. It is quietness. It is in the heart. And we're very prone to having other little things in our hearts until we saw him on the cross and he said, this is what you need. And we took it, believed, and found that what he said is true. Amen. I'm undecided if I'm going to sell this tonight. Would you pray? I don't think so. I've had it for a long time, 10 years, I think. So I was joking about Craigslist. I know many of you during the message were typing on your iPhone, ordering one while I was preaching. Okay, would you pray with me just now? Father, this is our yearly celebration. We are serious. We are serious people. We have found Christ as real. We have found a new life. We fellowship in and we see each other deep in the heart. And we say, praise God for you. Praise God for your life. Praise God for your joy and your trials. We think of brothers and sisters, they are walking through deep water tonight, but they are also feeding on the Lamb. And our expectation is that much will happen this week at many levels, in many ways. We are believing you and walking with you. And please, out of nowhere, out of the asphalt, out of the sky, out of a tree, out of a house, out of nowhere, because we are walking with you as our God. Supply, meet needs, heal bodies, do your work, show us the deep things, the loss of our self-life, so that we could find the full satisfaction. In Jesus' name, amen.